Divine Souls. In this series, I've been explaining to you the conditions of the path of bhakti. We learned that one condition is to be nishkam. We should not ask God for bhukti or mukti. We should not ask Him to fulfill our worldly desires, nor should we even request Him for liberation. The reason being that there is something beyond liberation that we can receive if we are totally selfless, and that is His divine power of bhakti, or divine love, which is the topmost goal which a soul could attain. Having received that divine prem, which is God's innermost power, that God-realized saint becomes equal to God in terms of his experience of bliss, equal to God in terms of his knowledge. And in fact, God considers himself to be subservient to that devotee who, to whom he has given that power of divine love. Thus, the power of divine love even brings God under a person's control, so we can understand how it is the highest goal. The second condition that we looked at briefly is that bhakti, being independent, should be free from the affiliation of any other practice. There is no need to supplement the practice of bhakti, if it's being done correctly, with any other spiritual practice. Bhakti itself is supreme and gives the highest goal. So if you are doing bhakti, you have already done all the other spiritual practices. Yat karma bhiryat tapasa jnana vairagya taschayat yogena dana dharmena shreyo bhiritarairapi bhagavatam. Shri Krishna is telling Uddhavji that if you've done bhakti, you're going to get the results of doing karma, jnana, yoga, tapasya, everything. Whatever other spiritual practices are recommended, you'll get all those positive results just by doing bhakti. So bhakti is totally independent and doesn't need to be affiliated with any other practice. The next condition we're going to look at is said by Rupa Goswami as anukulyena krishnanushilanam. We have to have a positive relationship with Shri Krishna in our mind. Unse pyar karna hai na? The meaning of upasana, it's made of two words, upasan. Uska matlab hai bhagwan ke paas man jana. Ya apna man bhagwan ke paas baithna. Your mind has to go close to God. But how to get close to God? Even though He's omnipresent and He even pervades our very soul, so you can say there's no separation between us and God, yet there's a feeling of distance. When you think of Bhagawan, Aishwaryasya samagrasya dharmasya yashasa shriya jnana vairagya yoschaiva sharnam bhag itirana. According to Veda Vyasji in the Bhagavatam, bhag means having six things in unlimited amount. And Bhagavan is the one who has these six things in unlimited amount. So Bhagavan, Shri Krishna, He has unlimited Aishwarya, unlimited power, unlimited dharma, righteousness, unlimited Shri, means beauty and wealth, unlimited Yash, He is worshipped by all, unlimited Gyan, He has absolute knowledge, and unlimited Vairagya, He's totally self-complacent. When Shri Krishna is such that He is called Bhagavan, because he has these six things in unlimited amount, then how will you come close to him? We read about in fairy tales, and we see in the movies, that, oh, a beggar could marry a princess. Does it happen in real life? Would it happen to us? We don't dare dream that it could happen to us. We don't think it's possible. So, would God really love us like a friend, like a personal companion? Why would he? He's Bhagawan. What does he need from us? Love happens between equals, right? Or at least someone you feel close to, someone who's approachable to you. You may have regard for Bhagawan. You may even fear him and respect him. Oh, he is all powerful. He keeps track of my karma. He could punish me for my bad karma. But this is not love. Respect or fear, nothing wrong with it. It's good to respect God. It may even be good to fear God if it keeps you from doing something bad. But on the path of bhakti, we have to learn to love God. I explained that vaidhi bhakti is done with a little bit of fear attached. That I have to worship God following all of these rules, and if I don't do this, I've done something wrong. But the path of Raganuga Bhakti, which is parallel to Vaidhi Bhakti, but done in a different style. The path of Raganuga Bhakti is just about loving God. Why do I want to worship him? Because I love him. Because I want to meet him. I want to have his darshan. Not just because it's a compulsion that, oh, it's said in the scriptures that I should worship God, so I must. That's Vaidhi Bhakti. Raganuga Bhakti is motivated by love and by the desire to get God's darshan. But how will you love Bhagawan? Even someone as great as Arjun, after having received divine vision from Shri Krishna, Divyam Dadami Te Chakshuhu. Shri Krishna says, I'm giving you divine eyes. Pashyame Yogamaishwaram. Now see my divine almighty form. So what was Arjun's reaction? He's sweating. He's trembling. He's so overwhelmed with this almighty form of Shri Krishna, his Vishwarup. He saw Shri Krishna's absolute power and almightiness. And after praising him and explaining what he was seeing for our benefit, he says, Prasida Devesha Jagannivasa. Shri Krishna, be pleased with me and do not prolong this too much. Why not? You got the divine vision, now enjoy seeing his divine form. Disho na jane na labhe cha sharma prasida devesha jagannivasa. Arjun says, I'm totally disoriented. I'm so overwhelmed by this vision of you in your almighty form. I don't know what way is up, what way is down, what's left, what's right. My heart is so unsettled. I wish to see you again in your friendly form as my companion, Krishna. Please resume that form. So Shri Krishna was just sitting before him on the chariot, and that almighty form vanished back into Shri Krishna. So when Arjun, Gandivadhari Arjun, the greatest warrior, having received the divine eyes from Shri Krishna, if that was his reaction to Shri Krishna's almighty form, how will you love that Bhagawan? He showed him his Bhagawan wala roop. That Bhagawan wala roop is even worshipped by Vishnu, Shankar and Brahma. Srijami tanniyuktoham haro harati tadvashah. Vishvam purusharupena paripati trishakti dhrik. Bhagavatam. Brahma is saying, I create the Brahmand with the power I get from Shri Krishna. God Shiva destroys the Brahmand with the power he gets from Bhagwan Shri Krishna, and Vishnu protects the Brahmand with the power he gets from Bhagwan. Are they not Bhagwan? Vishnu, Shiva, Brahma, they are also Bhagwan, are they not? They are, but they are ansh of Bhagwan. Yasya ekani shvasita kalamatha valambya jivanti loma vilaja jagadandanatha Vishnur mahansa iha yasya kalavishesho Govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. Brahma Sanghita. Brahma is praying to Shri Krishna, O Govinda, please grace me with the power to do srishti. I cannot do it without your grace. You, who are anshi of Bhagwan Mahavishnu. Who is Mahavishnu? We just talked about Vishnu, Shankar, Brahma. Sankhyachet rajasamasti navishvanam kadachan. Brahma Vishnu Shivadi nam tatha sankhyana vidyate. Devi Bhagavat Puran. Vedavyasji says there are uncountable Brahmans in this universe. Means planetary systems, like a solar system with a swarg and a narak and souls living over there. And each one of those Brahmans has three governors. Brahma creates, Vishnu protects, Shiva destroys. So there's one Vishnu, one Brahma, and one Shankar in each Brahmand, and the number of Brahmans is unlimited. He says you could count every grain of sand on this earth, because it's a limited number, but you could never count the number of Brahmans in existence. Thus, you could never count the number of Vishnus, Shivas, and Brahmas in existence, because there's one in each Brahmand. And they are all ansh of Bhagwan Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu is the absolute almighty form of Shri Krishna, who creates the whole entire universe. Sa ek eveshwarah narayano khila brahmandadhipatirekon shah. The Ved tells us that that Mahanarayan, Mahavishnu, who creates akhila brahmand, he is akhila brahmand adhipati, yet he is only ekah anshah. He is only one ansh of Bhagwan Shri Krishna. Avatara hyasankhyeya hare sattva nidher dvija. Bhagavat. Shri Krishna has taken uncountable avatars. Bhagwan has uncountable forms. Asankhya. Ete chancha kalapunsa krishnastu bhagavan svayam. Shri Krishna is Swayam Bhagwan. And all the others, according to this shloka from the Bhagavat, they are ansha and kala. They are a part of Shri Krishna's personality. So they are also Bhagwan. They are Bhagwan, because Bhagwan is Bhagwan. You can't have a fraction of Bhagwan. So Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, these are all ansh of Bhagwan. So they are also Bhagwan. Lekin Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Ek Bhagwan hota hai, ek Swayam Bhagwan hota hai. Shri Krishna is Swayam Bhagwan, who takes the form of all the other forms of God, who are also called Bhagwan, but they're included in Shri Krishna's personality. So that Mahavishnu who creates the whole universe, he is one ansh of Shri Krishna. And then the Vishnu, Brahma, and Shankar of each Brahmand, they are ansh of Mahavishnu. So they are ansh of Shri Krishna's ansh. Jag pe khan sab de khan hare vidhi hari shambhu na chavan hare tehu na ja nahi marm tumhara aur tumahi janan hara और तुमही को जानन हारा हे भगवान श्री कृष्ण विष्णु ब्रह्मा एंड शंकर दे आर लाइक पपेट्स इन योर हैंड यू मेक देम डांस अकॉर्डिंग टू योर ट्यून इवन दे कैन नॉट नो यू इन फुल व्हाट टू से ऑफ एनीवन एल्स इन एनी ब्रह्मांड एनीवेयर इन दिस यूनिवर्स सो इमेजिन The three governors of our Brahmand, Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, they are ansh of Mahavishnu, and he is ansh of Shri Krishna, who is Swayam Bhagwan. Achha, ab unse pyar karo. Impossible. You can't love Bhagwan. Even when Shri Krishna's ansh of his ansh came in the form of Narsingh, Narsingh Bhagwan is ansh of Vishnu of our Brahmand. He is ansh of ansh of ansh of Shri Krishna. After he killed Hiranyakashipu, he still had a ferocious look on his face and he was growling. Imagine if you got growled at by an ordinary lion in the zoo behind bars, you'd be frightened. Now imagine that lion was free and he growled at you. Now imagine the power behind God's roar. Again, Brahma is there, Shiva is there, Indra is there, all other devtas of Swarg are there. And they've all come because Bhagwan has come in the form of Narsingh and done them such a big favor. He's dispatched this terrible demon who had even taken control of Indra's throne. He was terrorizing all the three worlds. So they felt it appropriate to approach him and do his stuti. It happens, you read about it in every scripture. Every time Bhagwan appears, someone has to praise him and thank him. So everyone is saying to Brahma, you're his son, you came out of his nabhi. He gave you the task of creation, you're so powerful, you go first, we'll come behind you and you can praise him. Brahma says, I'm too afraid to go in front of him when he's like this. He says, Shankarji, you go. All you have to do is open your third eye and the whole Brahmand turns to ashes. What are you afraid of? You go. He says, no, I'm not going in front of him when he's like this. Lakshmi ji was also there. Hey, Mataji, you please go first. Surely you won't be afraid of him. You're his Ardhangini. You're always pressing his feet. She says, even I'm not going in front of him when he's like this. Little 7-year-old Prahlad says, follow me. There's nothing to be afraid of. He's mine. He goes in front of Narsingh Bhagwan and Narsingh Bhagwan's ferocious look just melts and he smiles at his devotee and he picks him up on his hand and starts dancing out of joy. So we have to develop that feeling of closeness like Prahlad has and not have this distance like, oh, he's Bhagwan. We can't go close to him. So in order to get close to God, there are three ways described by saints. There are ways of loving God, or modes of loving God. They are called Shant Bhav, Dasya Bhav, Sakhya Bhav, Vatsalya Bhav, and Madhurya Bhav. each one is progressively higher, you can say, because you're getting progressively closer to God in terms of your feelings and in terms of the relationship. This is a relationship that we're talking about. When you love someone, it's because you have a relationship. So you have to adopt a relationship with Bhagwan that makes you stop thinking of him as Bhagwan and start thinking of him as your very own. Shant Bhav is the most distant. It is like loving a king. So you can love the king if you're a subject in the kingdom. You can appreciate the king, but you still don't have a very close relationship with the king. In fact, this Shant Bhav still relates to Shri Krishna's almighty form as Mahavishnu. Those who worship with this Shant Bhav, they do attain Saguna Sakar Brahm. They do receive a divine body and they get a divine mind and they enter into his divine Vaikunth abode and enjoy the bliss of Shant Bhav forever. However, there's much closer relationships that a devotee can adopt. You know how the king would also have some servants, some friends, a mother and father, a spouse? Well, in the same way, you can imagine yourself being closer to God. The servant who gets to enter the king's quarters and clean or do some other service like cooking and serving the king, think how much closer the servant is than the mere subject in the kingdom. The same king would have friends. Those friends are much closer still than any servant would be. Now the servant has great advantages over the mere subject, but you can't compare the closeness of the servant and the king to the closeness of the friend of the king. In fact, for the friend of the king pretty much stops being a king, doesn't he? Not in public, but in private, that king is not a king when he's with his friend. He's a friend to his friend. He's a king to his subjects. He's a master to his servants, but he's a friend to his friends. The same king would have a mother, a father. Is the king a king to his mother? Only in public, not in private. In private, the tables are turned. The king becomes subservient to his mother. He has to obey his mother's command. He has to serve his mother and do what she says. And if the king has a spouse, if the king is married, the same thing applies. The king is not a king when he's with the queen, when he's with his wife. They are husband and wife. They're not king and queen when they're in private. So you see, in the same way that these relationships of what we actually call Madhurya Bhav, the beloved-to-beloved relationship, Vatsalya Bhav, the child-to-parent relationship, Sakhya Bhav, the friend-to-friend relationship, and Dasya Bhav, the servant-to-master relationship, in the same way that these relationships take the kingliness out of the king, these same relationships, if a devotee adopts one of them with Bhagwan, it takes his Bhagavatta away. Is the king still the king? Yes. The king is still the king, but he doesn't act like the king when he's with his friend or his mother or his spouse. In the same way, with a devotee who worships God either with Dasya, Sakhya, Vatsalya or Madhurya Bhav, God is still God, but his Bhagavatta is put on the side. It doesn't matter that he's God. So these modes of worshiping God, these different bhav, these are the means of removing God's bhagavata so that you can get closer to Him. Rasik Mahapurush, those who have attained even beyond Vaikunth abode, beyond God's divine almighty abode, and have attained God's Premanand, that divine love that I keep referring to, they are called Rasik Mahapurush, Rasik saints. They have said, concentrate on these four bhav, Dasya Sakhya, Vatsalya, Madhurya, because those will take you to that realm of Premanand, where you get to be much closer to God. So let's look at Dasya Bhav. Dasya Bhav means that you consider yourself to be God's personal servant, and He is your loving, benevolent master. It's much closer than simply being a subject in His kingdom. However, in this Dasya Bhav, there are still a lot of formalities. You see, the formalities gradually get reduced through each of these bhav. That's why each bhav is considered to be successively higher. So in Shant Bhav, obviously there's a lot of formality. The subject to the king relationship requires you to observe a lot of formalities. In Dasya Bhav, there are fewer formalities, but there are still a lot. Look at how Lakshman, who observed the perfect discipline of Dasya Bhav, during the 14 years that he was in Banvas with Sita and Ram, look at how he observed it, how carefully. The whole time, whenever they walked anywhere through the jungles, over hills, through mountains, he never once stepped where Sita and Ram stepped. That would be aparad. That would be an offense against the dharma of a das. He walked avoiding the footprints of Sita and Ram. When Bharat was going to meet Sita and Ram, he was walking and someone asked him, "Oh, please, why don't you sit on the chariot? We'll bring you." He said, "What? No, that is not possible. Sira bal chalau dharam asmora, sab te sevak dharm kathora." He says the dharma of a sevak is actually to put your forehead. He says the dharma of a sevak is to actually put your forehead where your master has stepped. So imagine trying to do that. Everywhere Ram steps, you have to go and put your forehead. Who can do that? That's why it is said, Seva dharma paramagahano yoginam apyagamyah. The dharma of a sevak is so difficult even a great yogi couldn't observe all the formalities that are required. So Dasya Bhav brings you closer, but there's still a lot of formalities that have to be observed. Yet, even in this Dasya Bhav, which still preserves a lot of the formalities, sometimes due to the love of the Das for his Swami, due to the love of the servant for his master, which is reciprocated by our divine master for his servants, because of that love, those formalities can be forgotten. Prabhu taru tar kapi dar par. Here, Tulsidas ji is describing that Hanuman ji and all the other banar, they're sitting in a tree above Ram, and Ram is sitting at the base of the tree, leaning against the trunk. This is total ullanghan. Total crossing over of the boundaries of the formalities that you're supposed to observe as a das. Because the das should never sit higher than his Swami. Ram should be sitting higher, Hanumanji and the others should be sitting lower. Yet, this consciousness of these formalities has been drowned. Drowned by that premanand. Due to the effect of that premanand, Hanumanji is not even thinking, oh, I shouldn't be up here, I should be down below Ram. And Ram is not even thinking, what are they doing up there? He is also drowned in the love of his servants. So this premanand is so special that when a devotee loves God with this dasya bhav, that dasya ras drowns the mind of God, drowns the mind of his servants, and to some extent they forget about his bhagavata. The servant desires to serve with his whole being. A devotee of Dasya Bhav says that, Shri Krishna, I wish to serve you every way possible while I'm alive. And I have one desire from you I would like you to fulfill. One desire? Sevak is not supposed to have a desire. Nasavai bhritya savai barnik. Prahladji says in the Bhagavatam, the servant who has a desire from his master is not a servant, he's a businessman. He wants to give something and get something. The servant's dharma is to give, to try to please the master. So, why are you telling me you have a desire? He says, my desire is this, that after I die, I want my physical body that's going to be left behind, I want that to also do some service for you. How is a dead body going to serve God? He says, Panchatvam tanure tu bhuta nivaha svanshe vishantu sphutam. He says, my body is made of the five elements, right? It's made of space, air, fire, water, and earth. So when my body dies, it's going to go back to those five elements. So my request from you, my humble request, is that when my body returns to those five elements, that those parts of my body find a way to serve you. For instance, the prithvi part of my body should return to the earth somewhere where it's very soft, maybe in your angan or on a path where you walk that can be very soft under your feet. The vayu part, the air part, let that become part of the air that on a hot summer's day when someone is fanning you, that air serves you by providing some coolness. Let the tej part of my body become part of the mirror that you can look into in your palace. Let the apaha, let the water part of my body, become part of that water that is used to bathe you. And let the space part of my body, the akash part, let that just become a part of the space in your angan where you walk and where you sit and enjoy. So in this way, I wish to serve you with my whole being before death and after death. And even after I've gone to the divine abode and I get to keep serving you with my divine body in the divine world, yet I still want my material body to find a way to serve you even after it has died. So such feelings of devotion, dasya bhav, melts the heart of Bhagwan, and he forgets he's Bhagwan. He says, Ekaikasyopakarasya pranan dasyami te kape sheshasyopakaranam bhajami rinino vayam. Valmiki Ramayan. Bhagwan Ram says to Hanumanji, who is the perfect example of Dasya Bhav. He says, oh Hanuman, my dear devotee, I can never repay you. You have served me with your whole being, with your heart and soul, in every way possible. If I give you my life, I will have repaid one of my debts to you. And what of all the others? I will simply have to remain rini to you. I will have to remain indebted to you forever. Such is the greatness of Dasya Bhav that it makes God feel indebted to his devotee. So if you adopt Dasya Bhav, you've somewhat removed God's Bhagavata, and look at how close you've brought him to you. But you can get even closer if you adopt Sakya Bhav. Now Sakya Bhav is beyond Dasya Bhav, but it also includes Dasya Bhav. The same feelings of Dasya Bhav are there in Sakya Bhav, but they're augmented by the feelings of friendship. In this Sakya Bhav, there's an equality between the soul and God. Imagine. Friends are equals. God is so kind and gracious that he says, Ye yatha mam prapadyante tas tathaiva bhajamyaham. Gita. However you love me, I'll love you the same way in return. Exactly. So if you love God with Sakya Bhav, he loves you as a friend. For real, not pretending. Because under the effect of that premanand, God forgets he's God, and the soul forgets he's just the soul, and that Shri Krishna is God. Just like a judge who may sit and hand out decisions on who's going to live and who's going to die, who's going to spend the rest of their life in jail, and who's going to be set free. The judge has so much power, everyone cowers before the judge in the courtroom. That's like Bhagwan. But the judge probably has some childhood friends who tease the judge. Say, oh, you think you're so big sitting up there on the bench. They don't say that in public in front of everybody, but when they're in private, they say, oh, who do you think you are? You're not wearing your robes here. I don't have to listen to you. And the judge likes that, right? The judge wants to have friends who treat him or her in that way. The judge may be a mother, and when the mother comes home, their child may have been playing outside in the mud, and the child sees the mother and doesn't think, oh, my mother's a Supreme Court judge. I have to be very formal with her. The child is covered in mud and runs and jumps on her mother. And the mother is so happy. Oh, it's my child. In the same way, if you love Shri Krishna as your friend, he truly loves you with the same feelings in return. It's not an act, it's his real feelings. So the examples that we have from Shri Krishna's avatar, from his time here in Braj, we have many examples of all of his friends, his sakhas, who loved him with this Sakya Bhav. Aho bhagyam, aho bhagyam, nandagopavrajaukasam, yanmitram paramanandam, purnam brahma sanatanam. Bhagavatam. Brahma says, glory to those Gwalbahals who are the eternal sakhas, the eternal friends of Supreme God, Shri Krishna. They are so great that they have Supreme God as their personal friend. Unnidrasya yayustavatra viratim saptakshapastishthato hanta shranta ivasi nikshipa sakhe shri dama parno giri. Shri Krishna has been holding up Govardhan Hill for one whole week, 7 days and seven nights, without rest. One of his Gwalbals comes to him and he says, oh, Kanha, why don't you take a break? It's been raining, so Krishna's holding up Govardhan Hill, how is he going to take a break? If he puts it down, all the Brajwasis are going to die. He says, just switch it to your other hand and I'll massage this hand for you. You haven't slept, you haven't rested. Or better yet, why don't you give the mountain to Sri Dama and let him hold it for some time? So, in fact, Sri Krishna's friends didn't think of him as God at all. If they thought of him as God, they would have been very formal. They would have kept their distance. They would have honored him and sung his stuti and done his arti, but they wouldn't have felt that close to him. When Sri Krishna wasn't doing some semi-almighty leela, like lifting Govardhan Hill, he was playing with his friends with no trace of almightiness. If they were playing a game and Krishna lost the game, then the winner of the game would make Krishna his horse and he would jump on his back and he would say, okay, now giddy up, horsey. So Sri Krishna is on all fours and his friend is riding on his back. Who would do such a thing to God? I once saw a saint do that to the Speaker of the House in Delhi. Both were visiting our ashram in Radha Madhav Dham. The Speaker of the House of that time, very powerful politician, he also came and visited our ashram. And there was a great saint there also at that time. And one day, that Speaker of the House got down like a horsey, and the saint rode on him for fun. So Sri Krishna's friends do this to him. Get on, say, let's go, horsey. So what does Sri Krishna do? He goes deliberately slowly. Knowing that his friend wants to go fast, he goes slowly. Why? Because he wants his friend to do this with his heels, in his ribs. Horsey, go faster. The horse is not going faster, so he digs his heels in the ribs. Giddy up, horsey. Now Sri Krishna starts going a little faster, but not fast enough. He does it again. Sri Krishna is enjoying that. He is laughing and crying tears of joy. He wrestles with his friends, plays with his friends. This is Sakhibhav. Imagine bringing God down to that level where you're that close to him. But much, much closer than Sakhibhav is Vatsalyabhav. In Vatsalyabhav, you are the parent and Sri Krishna is your son. Now the tables are turned. You're the boss. You're in charge. You're not just equals. He has to listen to you. He gets up in the morning when you tell him to get up in the morning. You have to put him to bed at night. You have to feed him, make him eat. You have to bathe him and dress him. Give him permission to go and play with his friends. Tell him when he has to be back. And he depends on you. He desires your affection. The example of this is Mother Yashoda. Imagine God desiring the affection of a soul. Well, doesn't a son desire his mother's affection? Yes. So why wouldn't God in Vatsalya Prem desire the soul's affection? Of course he would. This is the magic of Vatsalya Bhav. One time Naradji came and he came down to the house of Nanda Baba and Yashoda. He wanted to see what is Bhagwan Shri Krishna up to these days. So when he came to the house, he saw an unbelievable scene. He saw little Sri Krishna, blue complexion, a small boy, tugging at his mother's sari, crying and stomping his feet and putting his hands up and trying to get his mother to pick him up. And his mother, who is trying to take care of some household chores, is rebuking him and telling him, go play. I'm too busy right now. So then Naradji said, wait, I thought Bhagwan had come in the form of this, in a male form, but it seems to me that he must have come in a female form. Why? Because this little boy is crying to get into that mother's lap. Doesn't the soul cry to get into God's lap? God doesn't cry to get into the soul's lap. But in this case, the tables are turned. God has forgotten he's God. All he knows is, she's my mother. So he's desiring her affection and her love. A jnani saint who only knew the bliss of formless God is amazed seeing the scene at Mother Yashoda's house. Yashodaya samakapi devata nasti bhutale ulukhale yaya baddho muktido mukti michhati. He says, today I saw something unbelievable. I saw the giver of liberation, Bhagwan Shri Krishna, begging a soul for his liberation. That soul, little Mother Yashoda, has tied up Supreme God to the ukal. Tied him up around the waist. So he got the name Damodar. And Shri Krishna is crying and begging to be released. Mother, I won't misbehave anymore. Please let me go. So this Paramahansa says, I don't know of any such good karma, which is described in the Vedas, that can make God get tied up by the soul. All the kinds of karma and their results are described in the Ved. If you do this, you get this reward. If you do this, you get this punishment. Everything described in detail. This Paramahansa knows all the Vedas. He's saying there's no such karma described in the Vedas that can make God get tied up by a soul. Impossible. Yet I'm seeing it with my own eyes. There's no one who can compare to Mother Yashoda. Nasti devata. There's no devata who could be equal to Mother Yashoda. Even a great devata cannot bring Bhagwan under his control. But look at the love of Mother Yashoda. Aho chitram, aho chitram. Vedavyasji is saying that look at how great is the love of these Brajwasis, that it has tied up Supreme God, like made him their own, made him a slave to them, you can say. Aham bhakta paradhinaha. How does this happen? It happens due to that divine love power, that innermost power of God, which when it's revealed through these leelas, when it's brought out by the loving bhav of the devotees, then the effect of it is that it completely drowns out God's almightiness. So he's only loving and forgets about his bhagavata. And the soul also forgets about his bhagavata. This is why Shri Krishna was illiterate when he was in Braj. Due to the love of his mother and the gopis and the gwalbals, he was only distributing divine love through all of his leelas. He did not reveal his almightiness or his all-knowingness. He didn't tell Gita when he was in Braj, did he? He told Gita when he went to Mathura and then Dwarika, when he was revealing more of his almightiness at that time and concealing his lovingness. So that in fact was another form of Shri Krishna that went to Mathura and Dwarika. Braj wale Shri Krishna, Vrindavan wale Shri Krishna is not almighty. His almightiness is concealed. Mother Yashoda one day says to Shri Krishna, Krishna tvam pathakim pathami nanure shastram kimugyayate. Oh Krishna, although she never called him Krishna, by his proper name. She would have said Kanha, Kanhaiya, Lala, something like that. You should study. You're old enough now. You have to learn something. Study. Patha kim? Shri Krishna says, study what? Kim? What should I study? Shastram. You should study the Shastras, the divine scriptures of Sanatan Dharma. Why should I study Shastras, mother? What am I going to learn from that? Tattvam, she says. You'll get proper knowledge. Tattvam. Okay, why do I need proper knowledge? Or of what, you know, what is this knowledge going to be about? Tattvam kasya vibho sakastribhuvana dhishascha tenapikim. Shri Krishna says, why should I gain knowledge? Or of whom should I gain knowledge? She says, vibho, of God, Bhagwan, gain the knowledge of God. Who is she telling? She's telling God that you should study the scriptures that are produced by you and learn about yourself. But she doesn't remember he's God, nor does Shri Krishna remember he's God. Otherwise, how would you have a sweet, loving leela? You couldn't. He'd be sitting seriously all the time. So he says, who is God? Sakah? Who is that Vibho? Who is Bhagwan? I don't know him. Tribhuvanadhish. He is the Lord of all the three worlds. Why should I learn about him, mother? Jnanam bhakti ratho virakti ranaya. Kim mukti revastute. She says, if you get knowledge of God, then you'll develop bhakti for God. And when you get bhakti for God, then you'll get detachment from the world. And when you become totally detached from the world, you can get mukti. Shri Krishna says, mukti. Mother, you can keep your mukti for yourself. I don't want any. I just want that fresh dahi of the gopis, and I like breaking their pots and eating that curd. That's enough for me. You can keep your studies to yourself. Another day when Shri Krishna was still very young, Mother Yashoda entered a room of the palace, and without Shri Krishna knowing that she was watching, she saw a very charming scene. Shunye choriyatah svayam nijagrihe hayyangavanam manistambhe svapratibimba vikshitavatas tenaiva sardham bhiya. Bratarmavadamataram mama samo bhagastavapihito bhunkshvetyalapato hare kalavacho matra rahashruyate. She sees Shri Krishna looking at his reflection in a pillar, because all the pillars are jeweled in the house of Nanda Baba and Yashoda. So he sees the reflection. And he's just young, probably 3 years old. And he's been stealing butter in his own house, thinking that he's alone. He grabbed a pot of butter, pulled it into that room, and was trying to eat it quickly before anyone caught him. But when he caught his reflection in the pillar, he thought he was seeing the reflection of another boy. So when he saw the other boy, he became worried that this boy may tell on me to mother, and then I'll get in trouble. So he tried to strike a deal with that boy in the pillar. He said, now listen, friend, how about I share my makkhan with you? So I'll take one bite, then I'll give you one bite, and in this way, neither of us will tell mother, okay? And we'll both get our share. So Mother Yashoda is listening to this conversation, and she's watching as Shri Krishna himself is taking a bite and then trying to feed a bite to the pillar, smearing it on the pillar, trying to feed the boy that he sees there. All of a sudden, Shri Krishna realizes that Maya is standing there. Then he changes his tactics. He says, Mata kaesha navanita midam tvadiyam lobhena chorayitu madhya grihe pravishtah madvaranam namanute rama mama rosha bhaji rosham tanoti nahime navanita lobha. You know, mother, you're always telling me that I'm greedy for butter. You think I'm a butter thief? Well, today I've caught the real thief. You see this boy here? I caught him stealing butter in our house. Mother, I tried to stop him. I tried to reason with him, but he didn't listen. I showed him an angry face. He made an angry face right back at me. I held my fist up to him like this. He showed me his fist. So, mother, if you catch this boy, then you will see there will be no more chori in this house. Because I am not lobh. I do not have lobh. I'm not greedy for butter. Mother was just enjoying this. She was just listening to his childlike talks and enjoying the most. So this ras of vatsalya bhav is enjoyed by those who love God in this way, so that he stops acting like God and becomes that close, like your own son. But there's one more way of worshipping God called Madhuri Bhav, which exceeds all of the other bhav that I mentioned and includes them. It is the sweetest of all. So we will learn about Madhuri Bhav from tomorrow. Boliye Vrindavan Bihari Lal Ki Jai.